Christ. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And we as God's people, that's what we ought to be doing, telling about our Jesus. I'm thankful to be here today. I'm thankful that I can proclaim to you that I'm a child of God. And I'm thankful that I have the promise of God here in this life as I walk in this life in a relationship with Him, but also the promises that He gives of a better day one day after a while. Appreciate the song. Any word of testimony, anything on your hearts before we get to the word? I see y'all fanning. Brother Kenny's tried to adjust the thermostats. One week we're at minus degree wind chills, and the next we're in the 60s again, and it's hard to regulate, but try to bear with us, and hopefully he's got those set right, and you'll cool down here in just a minute. I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter. The Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter, and I just want to read a couple of verses here. Beginning in verse 1, it says, after these things, the things that he's talking about is the things that came before this in chapter 9, and I may talk about those next week if the Lord allows. But after these things, the Lord appointed another 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. My text verse is going to come from 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. And we find recorded there these words, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. My thought for a few moments this morning, if my voice will last and you can endure and hear me, the title of my message is Move Out. Move Out. And we know that today we are ushering in a new year, 2023. Will, we saw what you did with those songs. You notice the songs, they had a 23 in there somewhere. And so we're entering into a new year. If you're like me, we're unsure of what 2023 will bring into our lives. But if you're also like me, I am prayerful for the health and the well-being of our nation. I am prayerful for the health and well-being of our churches. I am prayerful for the health and well-being of your families. And I'm prayerful for the health and well-being of each one of us individually for this year. And at the same time, as Christians, I think we all understand that this year, 2023, that we are going to be embattled. We are going to be embattled with Satan as he tempts us to sin and as he tries to hinder our witness for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My text verse said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, we don't use human carnal plans and methods to win our battles, brothers and sisters. I want us to understand today that we use God's mighty weapons that are available to us to fight against Satan and against his strongholds. Well, what are those weapons? Oh, you say, oh, that's an easy one, Pastor. It's putting on the whole armor of God. Sure, it's putting on the whole armor of God and what that portion of God's words talks about. But I want us to also understand that our weapons are prayer. Our weapons are faith. Our weapons are hope. Our weapons this morning, brothers and sisters, is love. Our weapons are God's word. Our weapons is God's Holy Spirit. They're powerful and they're effective and they're all we need. We just need to trust in the Lord. As a child, when I was growing up in Sunday school, one of the songs that our teacher taught us was, I'm in the Lord's army. And we would sing, I'm in the Lord's army, yes, sir. And we would go on and talk about what that song sang. And every child of God that's sitting under the sound of my voice, whether you realize it or not, You are in the Lord's army. Every one of us are in the Lord's army. And you know, when we think about army and we think about what armies are for, armies are needed for war. And it requires men and women who have a love for country and who have a love for the freedoms that you and I are able to enjoy and experience in this life. And I'm thankful for those that may be here and those around the globe. I'm thankful for every single one who has served and everyone who has sacrificed over the years that we might be able to enjoy this freedom that we have. And I'll be honest with you this morning, the closest I've ever come to combat is what I've seen through documentaries. The closest I've ever come to combat is what I've seen in movies that portrayed what those things were. And the closest I've ever come is from some of you that have felt confident enough to share with me some of the stories of what you endured while you physically were in combat. But from what I have seen and what I have heard, one of the things that I noticed is I liked the camaraderie that soldiers seem to have and to share. You know, it's a team aspect of the units that I like, and nobody's alone. Everybody has everybody else's back as they go in there, and you know, and there's the deployment. They prepare first. They go through basic training. And what happens in basic training? Some of you could tell better than I could tell, but there's hours and hours and hours of military training, military practice. Everybody learns and they know what their role is. And it's been drilled into them day after day, over and over and over again. And then comes the deployment. They're sent to the front lines. They're prepared as well as they possibly can be prepared. They can assemble and disassemble their rifle with their eyes closed. They know what their orders are. Then they hear those words that we hear in the movies a lot of times. They're all gathered there, and the commander, the one that's in charge, he raises his hand and he says, "Let's move out. Let's move out." And there's a lot said in just those two words. Move out. And move out, why? Because they're prepared. Move out because they know what their role is. Move out because they know what their orders are. Move out because it's time to face the embattlement with the enemy. And they're told to move out, and they obey. I want you to keep that in mind as we ponder Luke chapter 10, just verses 1 and 2 for now. As I said, today is the first day of the new year. It's now 2023. We're starting a new year with what I pray will be a renewed focus for our church, for all of God's children. If you're visiting with us today, I hope it's a renewed focus for you and the church that you attend. And that focus is very simple. The focus is people. Particularly people who are not yet here with us. People who need Jesus. Last year, our church suffered way too many losses of people of our membership who passed from this life. And I'll just be honest with you, I miss them, but I'm happy for them. They're not suffering anymore in what they were dealing with. And they're enjoying heaven. They're enjoying the promises of God. But their places are empty. And their places, they need to be filled. And so I want to use these two verses this morning. And I want us to talk about how Jesus speaks to us through them. I want us to see how Jesus is setting the focus for us for 2023. Now, Jesus makes a big shift in his strategy beginning in Luke chapter 10. Up until this point, Jesus had been gathering together his followers. But the role that they had was limited. They had watched and they had learned from Jesus. They had heard Jesus teach. They saw him act. They saw the miracles that he had done. They saw the influence that he had in the lives of people. And just as we do today, we learn from the Word of God. And we learn from reading his Word. We learn from hearing his Word. But now the shift comes. And here's the last words in chapter 9, leading into chapter 10, verse 62 of chapter 9. And Jesus said unto him, let no man, having put his hand to the plow, he said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, what is that saying? We don't like to hear what that's saying, but we need to know what God's Word says to us. And what God's Word is saying to us is that Jesus wants total dedication from his people. What it's telling us here is that he doesn't want us to have a half-hearted commitment. And I want us to understand that when we think about what God's Word says, I hope that we understand that this book is not just a book of things that we can pick and choose from, that we can select how we're going to follow the Lord's leading. It's not our choice. We are disciples. What are disciples? Disciples are followers of Jesus. And we're to follow Jesus with great commitment and dedication in the things that he has commanded us to do. Now, the disciples, they had learned from the best teacher ever. Now it was time to move out. It was time to put into practice what they had learned. It was time to put their hands to the plow. It was time for action. What was their action to be? Well, this verse tells us that their action was to be the harvest. The harvest. They knew Jesus. They trusted Jesus. They followed him. They were secure in their relationship with him. And it was time to bring more people to him. So here we are. We're starting out the new year as followers. We're starting out the new years as believers in Jesus. Most of us have been following Jesus for some time now. We've soaked in God's grace and we've soaked in the glory of God. We're secure in our relationship that we have with the Lord. We've studied the Bible. We've watched and we've learned from Jesus. Brothers and sisters, now it's time for us to hear his command to move out. To move out. And notice how Jesus begins the plan. He appointed 70 other disciples to preach the truth, to fulfill the great commission that had been given. The great commission was to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Notice that the Word of God says that they were to teach them to observe all things that he had commanded them. That's what they were to do. Now Jesus, he had already had the 12 apostles. And Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2 tells us that they had already been sent. It tells us there that he called his 12 disciples together and he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So I believe this morning that these 70 do not include the apostles. These people are in addition to the apostles. Now, I find that important and I find that meaningful for us today. Moving out into the harvest is not just for a certain group of Christian people. It's not just for your pastor. It's not just for your Sunday school teachers. It's not just for the deacons and church leaders. Yes, they all have a calling, and we're all called into the harvest. But moving out into the harvest is not inclusive or exclusive to these people. Every Christian is called out into the harvest. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus sent out 35 teams of two, 70 people, to reach out to the multitudes. In other words, nobody was supposed to move out into the harvest alone. We're all in this together. We all got work to do together. And Jesus' plan for these 70 was to go into the harvest together. Jesus' plan for his people today is for all of us to work together, to reach out to the multitudes of our day who need to hear the gospel and who need Jesus in their life. Jesus knows everyone is needed because of the potential is huge. I want you to hear that. The potential is huge. Verse 2 said, "Therefore said he unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Brothers and sisters, there's a big harvest out there. In Matthew's account, he didn't say that it was truly great. He said it was plenteous. Sometimes, I might be speaking for myself here, and maybe some of you can identify with me, but sometimes it's discouraging when we don't see more people come to the Lord. I want to see people saved. I want to see people's lives turn to the Lord and understand where their strength comes from, where their help comes from. But sometimes we get discouraged, but we've got to see the truth here. There is no shortage. There's no competition that we're in with other churches over a few. There's plenty of harvest to go around, and our county has a huge, huge harvest potential. There's no shortage of people who need forgiveness. There's no shortage of people who need redemption, to need to be saved. There's no shortage of people in our community who need to hear the truth and what the teachings of God's word is all about. There's enough lost people in our community for every church. There's no shortage of people needing Jesus. But the scriptures tell us that there is a shortage of people sharing Jesus. But the laborers are few. The harvest is more than a few laborers can handle. That was the state of things that was going on here. And I think that's the state of things today. More harvest than laborers. So Jesus gives them his first step in his plan of action. "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." The first step in Jesus' plan is prayer. But pray for what? Pray for the harvest? No, not here. So what does Jesus tell us to pray for? He tells us to pray that the Lord will send out harvesters. The harvest is always there. Pray for somebody to move out and get to harvesting. So there's the first step in moving out. Praying for some bodies to move out. There will never be a harvest without harvesters. Brother Jimmy and some of you other that do farming, you can attest to this. They can plant their crops, and they can watch their crops grow, and they can stand back and look at that crop when it's all grown up. But without harvesters, it's just going to die and rot, and it's not going to be worth anything. You can't just look at the crop. The crop is there, but somebody has got to go out and got to gather it in. So what Jesus is telling us is Jesus says, pray for participants. Pray for laborers. Well, preacher, how do we pray for laborers? Well, by praying for participation. Pray for the desire to participate. Pray for yourself. Pray for others. Here's a tough one. Pray for a conviction for not participating. Most of us care about the fate of others. I don't believe there's a single Christian here that does not care if somebody dies in their sins, separated apart from God, and spends eternity in hell separated apart from God. I don't believe there's a one of you that don't care. I believe we all care, but the question is, do we care enough? Do we care enough? I've heard a lot of things over the years. I've heard some people say, well, that's for other people to do. Jesus doesn't expect me to do that. You know, he knows that I'm busy. He knows I got other stuff going on. He knows that I can't talk. He knows that I'm not eloquent enough. He knows that I don't know my Bible as well as I should know it, and a thousand other excuses. We need to pray for the Holy Spirit conviction that we are responsible to reach the multitudes. That's our job. We're ambassadors for God. We represent Him. They're not going to know about Him unless we tell them about Him. Let me tell you about my Jesus, as a sister just sang a few moments ago. Brothers and sisters, as we begin this new year, we need to pray for vision. We need to pray that we open our eyes wider and brighter, that we might be able to see the need. Who do you know this morning in your circle of family and friends that needs Jesus? Do you think about that? Are you worried about that? Are you troubled about that? Pray that God will open your eyes to the harvest and the needs of others around us. We get too caught up in this world. But the Bible is very clear that our citizenship is not here. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're not to accumulate things in this life that will corrode and rust, but we're to lay up treasures in heaven where they won't. We need to pray that we'll feel the need. Is the message speaking to you this morning? Are you feeling anything? Are you listening to what the Word of God says as I try to get it out the best that I can? We should feel something, brothers and sisters. The Word of God should touch our hearts, and we should feel the need. So much of what we see in the world today is evil. I get this all the time. Preacher, why do you say that? Listen, there's so much of the world today that is evil. It's wicked, it's disgusting, and it's sickening. And people say, preacher, why are you so negative? I'm not so negative. I'm just telling you the truth. And if you can't see it, you're blinded by the world today. And you need to have your eyes opened, and you need to have vision today. Don't misunderstand me. There's a lot of good things that are going on in the world. But just because I tell you that some of the things are not so good, don't get ruffled up or offended by it. Turn on the news. Look around you. Look at what's going on in our world today. We just want to look the other way and pretend it's not there. But I'll tell you, that won't change anything. Won't change anything. We need to pray that we'll be affected down to our core over the lostness of people around us. in whatever way that lostness takes on. It may take on the actual lostness of being separated from God. It may be a child of God who's been saved by grace, but they're lost. They're lost in the world, and they need to come back to Jesus and see what he can do through their life if they'll just let him be the Lord of their life. Jesus said, Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. In 2023, we need to pray for courage. Courage to answer the call as part of God's army to move out. We need to have that courage. We need to have that determination. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not telling you it's going to be easy. We studied in Sunday school this morning about persecution. There's going to be persecution. Well, there is persecution. All around the globe, Christians, people's lives are being sacrificed. They're being killed for what their beliefs are. It hasn't reached us here in the United States yet, but we're still experiencing different kinds of persecution. Jesus said in verse 3, the harvesters, that's supposed to be us, are lambs among wolves. In other words, simply put, the world wants to eat us alive. They don't want us to have any influence. They don't want us to have any voice. They want to dictate what I can preach about and what I can't preach about under the threat of imprisonment. That's what's going on today. Those things are all around us. And we need to pray for the courage to be able to face the wolves and to pray for the willingness to sacrifice if needed. Here's another thing people don't want to hear about today, is it? Nobody wants to hear about sacrifice. We work our whole lives to be at ease, to be comfortable, to have everything we need. But serving the Lord sometimes requires sacrifice. In whatever way it might come. It might come through finances. It might come through time that you give to others. There's all kinds of ways that sacrifice can come. We just need to pray, brothers and sisters, for trust. Do you trust the Lord today? Do you trust the Lord with your very life? Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you a truth right here. The Lord knows what he's doing. I heard a few amens. Listen, the Lord knows what he is doing. Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. Trust what he's already taught you. Trust in the Holy Spirit. Trust in what God wants for you to do. And trust that God wants this more than you do. Let's start this new year out, brothers and sisters, and I'm speaking specifically to those of Crossroads. Let's start this year out with a renewed focus. Let's let that focus be people, particularly those that are not here yet. People who need Jesus. Over the next few weeks, if the Lord will let me, I want to help us try to understand. And I want to try to help us prepare to move out into this great harvest. Let's begin with the first step. Remember what I said? Jesus said the first step was? It's prayer, wasn't it? Jesus said the first step was prayer. Brothers and sisters, let's pray for laborers for 2023. Let's pray for all of God's children to take up the cross and to follow him, follow the Lord into the harvest. And it begins with prayer. Do you need people to pray for you this morning? Anybody? Anybody need people to pray for them this morning? Yeah, quite a few hands went up this morning. Probably others who needed could have raised their hand, but didn't for whatever reason. Truth, we all need prayer. Every single one of us needs prayer. That's my message to you this morning. I want us to start the new year off right. And I want to start it off by concluding it with an altar of prayer. Those of you that can come to the altar, I invite you to come. If you can't come to the altar for physical limitations or whatever reason, that's fine to stay with you where you are. But I want to start it off right with a concluding altar of prayer. I want to say this. If there's someone here amongst us this morning that's unsaved, I know I was preaching to God's people primarily this morning, but I was trying to preach to them about the need to reach you because you need Jesus. You need to have salvation. You need to have the indwelling of the Spirit of God to be able to lead and guide and direct your life. You're not happy with where you're at in life or the direction of your life? Jesus can help with that if you'll surrender your life to Him. And I invite you to come to the altar and pray. If you're not familiar with our practice, I can't save anybody. There's nothing within me that can save you. All I can do is point you to the one who made the supreme sacrifice, which is Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us that there's one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Jesus Christ. He's the one you need to talk to. So if you're unsaved this morning, come down and pray. If you're convicted in your heart and you know you're separated from the Lord, talk to Him. Make things right with Him. Repent of your sin and say, Lord, I'm going to put my faith and trust in You to direct my life. Those of you that are gathering around, my brothers and sisters, come and pray for those that are unsaved. Pray for yourself. Pray for me. Pray for our church that we have a renewed focus in 2023. And that renewed focus is people that are around about us and the relationship that they have with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to call on one to lead us in prayer. And I'm going to pray also. But you pray as the Lord would have you to pray in your heart today. Knowing and understanding that there's a great need today. What does the Bible say? The fields are white. They're ready for harvest. The Word of God is speaking in the present and the now. It didn't say that, you know what? Pretty soon, down the road, in a month or two, it's going to be time. No, He said right now, the harvest is ready. But it needs harvesters. It needs people reaching out to people round about them. Tell them about Jesus and what they need to do to find the Lord precious to their soul. What a true blessing that is. Brother Phil, can I call on you to lead us in prayer? And when he finishes, I'll close out the service.